this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. No place I'd rather be than in his presence. Hallelujah. Terry talked about the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory is the tangible, visible presence of the Lord in the house. That when the priest came into the house to minister, they couldn't even minister because the presence of the Lord was so thick in the house. Hallelujah, that they couldn't even stand to minister. And so I believe there is a tangible presence of the Lord. There's a presence that fills the house. There's a glory that we can feel in the house and in his presence. That when we come into the house, we're not just here to go through the motions or just to, put in our time for the week. But we're here to be touched and to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a firm believer that when we come together in the house and his presence is so real and so tangible, one of the reasons why that is because as we come together, we all have our own streams that flow together in the house to make one river. Hallelujah. And wherever that river flows, it begins to bring life. So we come together and the anointings and the presence of the Lord comes together in one atmosphere in the house. Hallelujah. And in that atmosphere, I believe miracles take place. Salvations happen. Nerves are calm. Hallelujah. Comfort is given. Peace comes. All of those things come by being in his presence. Now, I don't believe when you leave here today and step through those doors or those doors when you leave here, I don't believe the presence of the Lord leaves you. We didn't come here to meet with Jesus today. How many of we brought him with us when we came? Hallelujah, because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's just as strong and just as real at my kitchen sink as he is in my car or on my lawnmower or whatever it is that I'm doing. He's just as real and just as present as he is when we're in the house. Hallelujah, but something about coming together in the house releases the fragrance of the house, the anointing of the house, the spices of the house. Hallelujah. And his presence is so rich and so real to us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you to everybody who got to come and have a little fellowship time on our coffee hour this morning. It was nice having some fellowship time. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the moms here. And you know, not just Mother's Day, but celebration of women. How many are thankful for the women in the house? Yeah. Hallelujah. If you want to get something done. Yeah. Amen. Ask a man or a woman. I'm going to save myself. You all thought I was going to get in trouble, didn't you? How many are glad women can multitask? Yes. That we can, carry a baby on one hip, wash dishes, answer the telephone, and text on our phone all at the same time. Hallelujah. Because our minds are always in a whole lot of different directions. I was thinking the other day, you know what? I think I'm a little attention deficit. I probably need medication because my mind just shoots around like a ping pong ball most of the time. And we took the kids on a field trip the other day, and I'm 10 to 15 minutes into the movie before I realized I haven't heard a thing that movie has said so far. You know, so I got to rein myself back in. That's how I watch TV. I have no clue what goes on while I'm watching it. And my husband will tell you that. He'll say, honey, what did they just say on the weather? I'll say, I don't know. He said, well, you were just there. You were just watching it. My eyes were looking that way, but my mind was either preaching or cleaning or working or doing something else. And so sometimes I think I need help. Hallelujah. And then I thought, I probably need medication. And I thought, no, because then I'd never get anything done. I'd only be focused on one thing. And I don't have the time to be focused on one thing. I got to jump around like a ping pong ball most of the time. Hallelujah. But I am thankful for this house. I am thankful for those who serve in this house faithfully and are dedicated and give and give and give to this house. I honor you today and I bless you in Jesus' name. And I want to kind of talk along that line a little bit this morning I was real torn as to what direction to go, and I'll get back to my series probably next weekend, but that's okay. We'll just stop for a little detour today. But the title of my sermon today is called A Midwife Crisis. Midwife Crisis, not midlife crisis, a midwife crisis. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but because I'm going to talk to you about a couple powerful women in the scripture this morning, and we'll just see what all directions it goes. But go ahead and bring me up Proverbs 31 and 25, Robert. It's really hard to celebrate a Sunday of women and powerful, courageous, godly women without going to at least one scripture in Proverbs 31, right? We know that Proverbs 31 is the scripture that talks about the virtuous woman. And man, if you read this book about her, she just is, this is one incredible woman, or it seems as if. I mean, she just has got it all together. And she's called the virtuous woman. And really what is happening in this scripture, this mother is, she's instructing her son, Lemuel, as to what kind of woman to look for. And so she's given the accolades of this woman. But in 31:25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Another translation says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of her future. That's powerful to me. I love that scripture. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of her future. Our greatest adornment must be strength and dignity. Yes. Amen? And we must, you know, and in those things, what you model before your children is a lot of times more powerful than what you say to them. Yes. Amen? And I'm not just talking about natural children. I really want to talk today about the church as the mother and the bride and the woman that brings forth sons. But I also want to talk about the midwives in the house. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. But it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of her future. How many know you can laugh without fear of your future? Your future is secure in Jesus. Hallelujah. And, you know, I used to think when I would look at this scripture, man, this woman, she's got it all together. And if I could get all these things together and I could do all the things that she does, then I would be a virtuous woman. But what I understood is because she was a virtuous woman, she does all of these things. See, she operates out of a position of knowing who she is. And because she knows who she is, she just does the things that are natural to her. She does the things that are profitable to her. She does the things that are profitable to her household. Hallelujah. And she takes comfort and strength in the fact that her household is taken care of. Go ahead and go to Psalms 127, 1 through 5. Psalms 127, 1 through 5. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. How many know that's a powerful scripture? Except the Lord build the house. I could also say, except the Lord build the home in that scripture. How many know your home needs to be established on a solid foundation? And that foundation needs to be Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The foundation of our home, the strength, the understanding of who our rock is. Hallelujah. You know, there was a wise man and a foolish man in the scripture. And they both built houses. But one built their house or their foundation on a solid rock. I mean, you know, if we allow the Lord to establish our home, establish our families, establish and we are rooted and grounded. I am thankful today for having Christian foundational roots. Amen. I've said this before, and you've heard me say this, that when we grew up, we were drug babies. We were drugged to tent revivals. We were drugged to tent meetings. We were drugged to wherever there was another service or another revival or another meeting. We were there, and many a night we would fall asleep on the pews, all five, six, seven of us, however many at the time. And we would fall asleep on the pews, and we would remember many a night you didn't go home till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Anybody ever been to those services before where you just, you know, make yourself comfortable on the floor because they're going to party tonight in the Holy Ghost, and we'll go when it's over. Amen. And so I'm thankful for those foundational things. I'm thankful that my mom is in the house today. Thankful for my foundation. Thankful for my example in the Lord, who has paved the way for me to be where I am today, even here. She took a whole lot more flack over being a woman pastor than I ever have had to, but she warded off a whole lot of errors for me that I didn't have to fight. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that, and for my parents, my father, who, you know, who raised us in this house and brought us to this place and this opportunity. So I'm thankful for the Lord who builds the house. Amen. It's vain to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I'm going to go back to verse 4. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man, and I also want to say happy is the church that has its quiver full of them. For they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Again, I want to talk to you this morning about the woman, the church, and about the birthing process that happens and takes place. Amen? And so this scripture says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. How many know it is our responsibility to sharpen those arrows? So that when we send them out, they're going out with a great foundation. And I'm not talking about in a destructive way. How many know as we send arrows out of this church and they go to do what God has called them to do? Hallelujah. We want to know that they've been established in a house. We want to know that they have foundations. We want to know that they've been raised in the ways of the Lord. Amen. They've been raised in the house. And so the scripture says, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. But I also want to say, happy is the church who has them, their quiver full of them. How many know it is the excitement in the house when the kids come in? Amen? And it may seem chaotic. It may get a little bit crazy. And you might get a little bit nervous, you know, when they're doing more running than they are praising. But let me tell you, there's something in a child that is drawn to the presence of the Lord. There is something in them that is drawn to music. There is something in them. I watch even as our two little babies are growing up, Elliot and Carolina, when the music starts, their body just starts going like this. You know, they just start getting the move. And I'm thinking, you know, how do they really know? How do they know that when music starts, you're supposed to clap your hands, you're supposed to do all those things? But there's something about music. There's something about, you know, that they're drawn to. Amen? And so, you know, as the church, if the church is to grow and the church is to have a future, how many know there must be arrows? There must be children. There must be a quiver full of children. Hallelujah. And so our outreach needs to be to them, to establish them, to strengthen them. I love what I see when they come up from the Sunday school classes downstairs and they're telling us that their sermon is on Peter Pan. They knew it was on Peter. And then, you know, they start, no, it wasn't Peter Pan. It wasn't Peter Parker. It was Peter in the Bible, and Peter was in jail. But Jesus helped him get him out. And they knew it. I love that. Hallelujah. And so they may not get all the words right, but they're getting a concept of what's going on. Amen. When I was a little girl, and I can remember, and it was probably in Hennis Fox's church, when I was a little girl, we used to sing the song, down at the cross was the blood. And I thought they said the blood of Clyde. And for years, I was trying to figure out how Clyde fits in to this whole Bible story. Now, if you don't know the song is down at the cross was the blood applied. Got it? Okay, so, but me, I'm just singing my little heart out, and I can remember standing on the pew singing it, so I was pretty little, and I was singing, "Down at the cross was the blood of Clyde." I didn't know who Clyde was, but I knew he must have something to do with Jesus. Hallelujah. But later I found out it was the blood applied, and I understand the concept of what it means to have the blood applied to your life. Amen? But I got some foundation there, even I didn't, and hopefully Clyde found Jesus. Hallelujah. Just as long as Clyde found Jesus, that's all that matters to me. Amen. Hallelujah. And when those kids come up here to pray the other Sunday, and Caden knew that we were taking prayer requests, and he knew that was the time when you speak up, and he wanted prayed for because he said, "I've been having bad dreams. I want prayer over that." That little boy knew that I need help, and I know where to get it. I'm going to talk to Jesus. And when he come up here to pray, Georgia said over to Lexi, who was over here, she said, "Lexi, get over here and pray for him. He's bad, having bad dreams." Hallelujah. That blesses me. That does something to me. It didn't matter what else happened in service last Sunday, but those little guys knew that Jesus was the answer. They knew that they needed help. They knew they needed prayer, and they knew what to do. Hallelujah. There is an establishment that happens in the house as a child that you understand when you feel that presence of the Holy Ghost, you don't ever get away from that. I'm going to tell you, you know, you may have been touched by the power of God when you were younger, and I don't know where you are in your Christian walk, but I will tell you, once you experience His presence, there is no walking away from it. There is no getting away from it because His presence is ever present with you. We sometimes think, "Well, I knew Jesus when I was a kid, but then I lost Him somewhere." How many know He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you"? Hallelujah. "Then I'm a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother." Hallelujah. And what I love about the Holy Ghost, it's a gentleman. It won't push you, it won't force you, but it'll always be there to remind you of His power and His presence in your life. Hallelujah. So as a church, it is important for us to establish. It's important for us to understand that we have in our care the greatest treasure that our world has. Hallelujah. How many know if you want to change your world, if you want to change your circumstances, if you want to change your country, change your children. Establish your children. How many know we need politicians who have been raised in godly homes, who understand character and integrity and honesty, and that it's about the country and about the people and not about my name or your name or whoever's name. How many know, you know, we sometimes in the church we've backed off from some stuff because, number one, we didn't think we were staying. Amen. And number two, we didn't know if we ought to get involved in that. How many know we need to infiltrate every area of this planet? We need scientists. We need politicians. We need lawyers. We need doctors. We need teachers. We need accountants. We can just name all kinds of names. We need godly people. Amen. That'll stand up in places of authority and positions. And it says, "I am clothed with strength and dignity, and I don't fear my future." Hallelujah, because my future is secure in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's a responsibility to the house. Amen? It's all of our responsibility to raise those arrows up and to allow our quiver to be full of them, because who knows what God can do? Who knows what God can do? We had a moment back there in the multi-purpose room a few minutes ago when we were reminiscing, and Dave had pulled up some old pictures from camp and showed me some old pictures of church camp way back in the day. Hallelujah. And as he flipped through those, one of them was a pastor who just ministered here not too long ago. He flipped through it again. One of them is the outreach and the drug support program that we support in Ohio was in that picture. One of them is a law enforcement officer. One of them runs a retirement home and an Alzheimer unit and cares for patients of an Alzheimer's. And I saw the faces of those kids flash through those pictures. And somewhere along the line, Word of Deliverance was a place who sharpened some arrows and sent them out of here, even if it was 1 week's time. And those arrows are affecting Louisiana and Ohio and all places all over because somebody took the time to nurture some kids and to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. We had a young Catholic boy that came to church. It was and he got spirit filled while he was here. God's just supernaturally touched him, and he pastors one of the largest Methodist churches in his area, in the Midwest. Hallelujah. But all over the place that God touches and changes the lives of people, you will never regret what you invest in the life of a child. Amen. She's going to get ahead of me. Yes, she does. A midwife's one who helps to birth. Yep. I get Pastor Shirley all tied up. No, I'm just going to have to give her another, get her tied up. Not tied up. I get her stirred up. I'm just going to have to give her the other cordless mic and let her go. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. Huh? It's also Mother's Day. Let her talk, right? There we go. She knows I love it. She knows I love it. Hallelujah. I started to say one of the hardest things that we deal with at camp time is all the kids who are past the age of coming that call and say, is there any way I could come? I'll come and help. I'll wash dishes. I'll do anything you want me to do if you'll still let me come back to camp. And because of numbers, sometimes we have to limit the age, but it's so hard because they want to be here. Hallelujah. And so we do what we can do and say, don't tell them how old you are when you get there. In case this goes out on the tape, you didn't hear that. The CD, right? Hallelujah. Does anybody know who Shifra and Pua are? Shifra and Pua. Not those, but that's another story. But yeah, you're right on line there. We don't normally know that name, Shifra or Pua, do we? Anybody? Good, because you will when you leave this morning. How many know the name of Moses? How about Aaron? Miriam. Yeah. We know all the great things about Moses, right? We know that he was a great leader. We know that God met with him in the burning bush and take off your shoes, you're on holy ground, Moses, and I'm going to make you a great deliverer. And so he goes back into Egypt and he brings all the plagues and he rolls back the Red Sea and he builds the tabernacle and he goes to the mountain, he receives the law. We know all of those things about Moses, right? A great leader, powerful man. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration, the scripture says, and there appeared with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. And the heavens opened, and the Father says, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And the scripture tells us that Jesus came to make of twain one new man. How many know he was the fulfillment? Moses and Elijah were the picture of the law and the prophets. And he was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets in his day when he come. But had there not been a lady named Shifra and Pua, there may have never been a Moses. So behind every great man or great leader, whether it's man or woman, how many know there's somebody in the background that helped you get to where you were? You know, and Lynn said this one time in this house that if you go down the road and you see a turtle on a fence post, chances are that turtle didn't get on that fence post by themselves. Amen? Somebody helped you get on that fence post. And I said this before, it's God has a sense of humor. And we laugh together all the time. Because sometimes I say, yeah, right, Lord, you're funny. And then he brings it to pass, and then I laugh again. Amen? Hallelujah. But one of those people that helped me get on the fence post, I told you, my mom and my dad and all those things. But in my upbringing, one of those people that helped me get on this fence post I'm on right here is my Sunday school teacher, Sam Blair, who was in our house. But did we ever know in that day, Sam, that one of these days I would be teaching him and that he would be under the sound of my voice? So thank you for everything you taught me, okay? So what do you hear come out of my mouth? Give credit to Sam, okay? Can't what? Now he can't tell me to keep quiet anymore. So thank God Sam persevered and helped raise me in the house, right? Hallelujah. So it is an honor to have those that you've sowed into. When you cast your bread upon the waters, it really does return to you after many days. Amen. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. In Exodus 1, verses 8 through 22, it says, Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. How many know Joseph had clout in Egypt? But when those days ended, there was a new king that rose up and didn't know Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Now that's a pretty good testimony. The more they afflicted him, the more powerful that they become. I mean, sometimes the stresses, the adversity, the things that happen in your life, you can either let them make you stronger, or you can let them break you. Sometimes it's the way you face them and the way you handle adversity. Amen? It can either make you better or it can make you bitter. Hallelujah. So, but they became stronger. The more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. In other words, hardship. They made it more difficult on them. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools or the birthing stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come into them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that they made them houses. Was that the last scripture? And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now go back to verse 21 and hold it there for a moment. They're in bondage. They're under taskmasters. And their women are having babies, and they're delivered by midwives. And they said, Pharaoh makes a decree and says to them, When you go in to deliver their babies, if the babies are boys, we want you to kill the babies or destroy the babies, but let the girls live. How many know this is a decree from the Pharaoh to Shiphrah and Puah? And the name, see if I can find it here. The name Shiphrah means to beautify, to swaddle, or clean. And Puah means to cry, to coo, or to groan. So we have two Hebrew midwives. They've been given a command that they are to destroy the Hebrew babies under their care. But Shiphrah and Puah refuse to follow the king's command and they choose to say no. How many know there's power in the word no? There's purpose in the word no. But what they did was choose to say, no, nope, you may decree that our babies aren't going to live. You might want to bring death to our babies, but I fear God. I have a fear for God. I'm trusting God. I am not giving my babies into the care of a Pharaoh. I am not causing harm to come to a Pharaoh. I'm a midwife. And the purpose of a midwife is to birth the baby, to give it life, to nurture it, to coddle it, to wash it, to soothe it, and if need be, give that baby mouth-to-mouth or life support. Now, probably we could go around the room and you could tell a story about a midwife back in the day that came to deliver the babies and how many babies they would lay to the side and say, that baby's not going to live or that baby's not going to make it, only to find out that a midwife didn't give up and kept working on that baby and kept ministering to that baby and doing everything that they could to that baby till all of a sudden that baby lived. Amen. Hallelujah. And so their point was to bring forth life. That's my calling. That's my gifting. That's what I'm doing. I was born to give life to babies. I was born to help escort babies into the world. So Pharaoh, you can give your decree all you want to, but I will not heed the voice of a Pharaoh that says our babies got to die. I come to tell you today, our babies are going to live. And not only are they going to live, but they're going to be mighty and they're going to be strong. And they're going to be deliverers. And they're going to be arrows that are sent out of this house. Hallelujah. To minister. Because who knows that the next baby that I catch on my lap might be the next greatest deliverer of the nation of Israel. Who knows that we don't have deliverers in our hands? Who knows that we don't have the greatness of potential in our hands? Hallelujah. I mean, somebody's got to say no to Pharaoh, no more of our babies. Hallelujah. To substance abuse, no more of our babies. To addictions, no more of our babies. Hallelujah. To crime and poverty and sickness and all of those kind of things. I say no, Pharaoh, no more of our babies. I mean, sometimes you just got to stand up and say no. Not today and not on my watch, no. Hallelujah. How many know when the Shunammite woman had a son and the prophet gave her a son and the son died? How many know she didn't? What I love about this woman is she's that woman I talked to. She's clothed with strength and dignity and she laughs without fear of her future. When that baby is laying dead in her lap, she could have mourned that baby and laid there. She said, somebody get my chariot ready. Somebody saddle up my horse. I'm going to find the prophet of God. I'm going to find the man of God. I'm going to pursue my promise. And I'm going to hold on until my baby has life in it. Hallelujah. Because my baby's not dying today, not on my day and not on my watch. Hallelujah. And so Shiphrah and Puah have the strength. They have the power. They have the godliness inside of them that said, oh no, no more of our babies will die. We might be living in a temporary place under hardship and struggle, and it might seem like a struggle where I'm at now. It might seem like I'm living in a foreign land. How many know Egypt was not their home? Hallelujah. And Shiphrah and Puah refused to get comfortable where they were. How many know sometimes you're going to struggle with some things? You're going to have some hardships. You may see the hand of Pharaoh even in your household or on your family or those you love. But how many know the worst thing you can do is put out a mailbox and make yourself at home there? Hallelujah. This is a temporary place. You got to keep telling yourself this is a temporary place. Hallelujah. I don't heed the voice of Pharaoh. I heed the voice of God. And so they refused to do what Pharaoh said to them. They refused to give in to the voice of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh come back and said, what is this? You didn't follow what I told you to do. And he said, well, let me tell you what. These Hebrew women, they're not like the other women. He said, they're strong. They're vigorous. And before we can get there, they're already having their babies. And they're bringing forth babies and they're multiplying. See, there's something to be said for babies that can come forth even in adverse times. I mean, God wants to burst something in your life, even when it seems like you're looking into the face of adversity or bondage or struggle. And it may not be a physical baby. How many know God wants to birth something in our lives all the time to cause us to bring forth life? Hallelujah. And you know what happens in this story is not only do the children of Israel increase, and not only do they multiply, and not only do they become stronger, but a deliverer is born. The very person that's going to save that midwife out of Egypt is that little bundle she's going to catch on that birthing stool. You may find out the very seed you sow may be the one to come back and birth life in you and bring deliverance into your life at some place and some time. Hallelujah. See, I believe in sowing into the life of kids because they might be my doctor one of these days. I might need a lawyer one of these days. They might run my country one of these days. They might teach my grandbabies one of these days. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody somewhere's got to say, no, Pharaoh, you're not getting our babies. Hallelujah. See, one of the biggest struggles I face in my other job during my day is Pharaoh's hand over the households of our children. And I'm done with Pharaoh's hand in our children's. I'm done with Pharaoh having voice in our children's life. How many know there's power in the word no? No, Pharaoh. And you know, even as parents, sometimes we need to practice. Look in the mirror if you got to. Practice saying that word no. No is an answer. No, you're not wearing that today. No, you're not going to that party. No, you're not dating that person. No, you're not skipping church. No, you're not calling in from work. I mean, sometimes you need to say no. Sometimes you need to be the voice that says, you may not like me now. You may not like me tomorrow. But there'll come a day you'll like me again because you'll be in my shoes. Hallelujah. I told my girls, and they'll tell you this is the truth. I am not your friend. I'm your mama. Mama don't support stupid. Mama will hire for ignorance. I'll hire you. If it's an ignorance problem, I'll hire tutors. But mama's not supporting stupid. You understand what I'm saying? There's times when you say no. You don't understand this. You're not going to like me. But in my spirit, no. I'll give you an example. When my daughter got ready to go on her senior trip, I did not have peace in my spirit about her going. But everybody else's mom was letting them go. Everybody else is going. They were going to Florida. I didn't like her driving to Hagerstown at the time. I did not have peace in my spirit about it, but I thought, it's just me. It's mama's worry. And I got to be a big girl. She's a big girl. All of that kind of stuff. I'm sitting right over there. In the middle of our church conference, I get a text. Mom, our bus has been in a bus accident. A serious bus accident on the way to Florida. And I said, I superseded the voice that I heard, and I gave in and said yes when I should have said no. Anybody else? I'm not here to tell you that I always hit it right. And that I always did it right. But how many know I've tried to teach my girls too, if you hear that voice, don't ignore it. You don't have to understand it. Don't supersede it. Don't go around it. Trust the voice inside of you to tell you. Now, fortunately, she was not hurt in that accident. There were some people who were hurt in that accident. She was not. Thank God for that. And I said to her, I'm sorry, because I should have said what I felt. Amen. How many know sometimes we are pressured into doing things or making decisions because if we don't wear this, this person's not going to like me. And if I don't get to go there, they're not going to be my friend. You got your whole life ahead of you to make friends. But you will find out in a moment of a crazy decision where you say yes to something that if you'd have followed the voice of mama or daddy or the Holy Ghost, you'd have been farther ahead where you are. So I just want to say to you this morning, there is power in the word no. See, Pharaoh, Shiphrah and Puah probably could have said yes to Pharaoh and probably have gotten rewarded for doing what Pharaoh had asked them. But how many of the scripture tells us that, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Another word says he made them dynasties. He established them in ways Pharaoh never could have because they dared to say no to Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Sometimes no is the right answer. Hallelujah.
And she didn't leave me there. She came to my house a couple times a week so that we could pray together. And she followed up with that. She kept encouraging me. She kept taking you kids with us to church and stuff. And the point of that is that we just don't drop them, or we just don't kill them right there. But there's some mentoring that goes on. There's some life that goes on. There's some example that goes on. And like you said earlier, you know, we have to raise our children up in the house. And I'm speaking Christian-wise. But we have to set the example. Our kids are going to follow whatever we do. If it's not important for us to be in church every Sunday, it's not important to them. If it's not important to them, to us, to, you know, to live the life in front of them, you know, and not have preacher for lunch all the way home, how bad they were, you know. You know, these are the things that we have to look. Little children have ears to hear as well as everybody else. And we have to mentor them. We have to encourage them. We have to lift them up. We have to help them when help's needed. And I thank God that I had that support and that help. And I'm sure she never dreamed that I'd be her pastor either one day, but...
Because you didn't even have a driver's license. Sometimes you got to do it even when it don't make sense. Right? Amen. But you know, the church is full of midwives, men and women, full of people who help birth somebody into the kingdom. Hallelujah. When was the last time you delivered somebody and birthed them into the kingdom of God? And help to nurture and walk them through the process of coming to know Jesus. And then even as they come to know Jesus and they had some struggles or had some hard times or some problems, that you could be there to help nurture them and talk them through it and to hold their hands and to lift up their hands in times of struggle. Hallelujah. How many know that's the church's responsibility? Hallelujah. Our responsibility as the church is to birth sons or birth children into the kingdom. Amen. And as they're birthed into the kingdom, it's the midwife's responsibility then to nurture them, to care for them, to sometimes, how many know sometimes you got to do mouth to mouth? How many know sometimes you got to breathe life into them? Hallelujah. Sometimes you have to be there to pick them up when it looks like they can't make it. Hallelujah. And all of us have had somebody in our life to help us at some point along the way to help us stand up again. To help us to walk. Hallelujah. And you know, you can say, you know, look at you, you can say, well, this doesn't work or that doesn't work. How many know today's a brand new day? Whatever is in yesterday is yesterday, but there's a brand new day, you know, a fresh start every day to make a conscious decision to do what you know to be right. Hallelujah. To change atmospheres, to change circumstances. I mean, you know, I'm a grandma now, but I'm still learning how to be a parent. I'm still learning how to be a mom. Hallelujah. There's still those times, you know, when they grow up, it's a little bit different responsibility in a little different way. I don't need to pick their clothes out for them, thank God. You know, I don't get to make a lot of their decisions, but there's still counsel. There's still wisdom. There's still, if nothing else, there's just holding their hand for a moment of time. Just being there with them to be solid, to be supportive, to be a force in their life of somebody that says, you know what, I'm on your side. I'm rooting for you. I'm cheering for you. I want you to be the best you can be. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, you know, we have that responsibility. And so as a church, I challenge you to help nurture, to midwife those. There is a crisis, a midwife crisis of people, of no one being there to nurture or to minister or to win souls. Amen? I challenge you. When's the last time that you went out and really spent the time on somebody to say, I want to see them come to Jesus? I want to see them find life. I want to see them. I want to see God do something great in their life. I want something better for them. And yet you take the time to be there with them. Help them breathe. I mean, when you're in a birthing process, you need somebody sometimes to help you breathe. Sometimes to help you relax. Somebody just hold your hand. Somebody just be there. Hallelujah for you in those times. But what I love about Shifra and Pua, you might not ever remember that name. You may go out of here and not know who they are. But Moses is the man he was because somebody dared to think differently than what Pharaoh did. And what if they would have heeded the voice of Pharaoh and said, well, you know, it's safe for me, so no big deal. I'm going to do what I was told. The nation of Israel may still have been waiting on somebody to stand up and say, no. No more of our babies. And so then we find in the next chapter of Exodus that not only is Shifra and Pua have the power to save the lives of the babies, but there's a woman named Jochebed and a little sister named Miriam that says, hey, you know what? If Shifra and Pua can say no to Pharaoh, so can we. And so instead of Jochebed's, Moses's mom, instead of her baby being destroyed, she puts him in a basket. And she puts him in the river. And she hides him behind some reeds. And she sends Miriam out to watch over him in hopes that somebody would come by and fall in love with this little coo of a baby that she knew had potential, that she knew that was born for greatness. I mean, you know, sometimes the voice of adversity can be all around your children. And it may look like it's doomed, and it may look like things are not panning out like you thought, but don't ever give up hope on the promises of God in your life. Go ahead and make them an ark of safety. Go ahead and weave them a basket. Go ahead and place them into the hands of God and say, God, I'm going to trust you with my babies. I'm going to trust you with my kids. I'm going to trust you with my children. Because if you can bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, you can bring my kids out of poverty. You can bring them out of addictions. You can bring them out of the places that they're in. You can break, you know, addictions and strongholds over their life. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm putting my baby in a basket. And I'm going to get some people to watch out for them. I'm going to find me a Miriam that's willing to watch out and say, I'm looking out for that baby right there. Because he was born for greatness. I mean, Jochebed and Miriam had the confidence and the strength to say no to Pharaoh. Because Shifra and Pua led the way for them. Hallelujah. And she knew when that princess came down to that river to wash, when she looks at the face of my baby, she's going to fall in love with that baby. She's going to know he's a special baby. She's going to know he was born for greatness. I'm going to tell you, your children in this house are born for greatness. Don't ever give up. Don't back up. Don't slack off. Hallelujah. But trust God. Put them into the hands of God and trust God. Because there will come a day that Miriam and Jochebed were separated from Moses. And Moses was raised in a foreign house. He went to a foreign land, as it were. He was raised in the house of an Egyptian, but here's what I know. He had the heart of a Hebrew in his chest. You might find yourself in an Egyptian household or an Egyptian land for a while, but you're going to have to trust the heart of the Egyptian that's beaten in the heart of a Hebrew that's beaten in their chest. Because there would come a day when Moses would raise up out of the place he was in, the place that seemed like it would be forever. He would rise up and said, this can't be. And when he kills the Egyptian and goes into the wilderness to hide out, God meets him in the wilderness and said, Moses, you're the one that's going to lead my people out of bondage. Hallelujah. How many know we don't know the potential or the power that's in the seed that is born. Amen? Hallelujah. Moses may not have been the greatest deliverer of Israel. Shiphrah and Puah may have been. They saved the babies alive. How many say sometimes you got to challenge the status quo? You got to take a stand. You got to voice your opinion. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to say no. They may have been the first one in 400 years to say no to Pharaoh. It's not just what you say no to that matters. It's what you say yes to that gives you the strength and the power to say no. Hallelujah. How many know well-behaved women rarely make history? Well-behaved women rarely make history. Sherry says JL. Rahab. Come on, give me some women that just stepped out of their element. Esther. Sherry. I'll take it. Clyde, right? Ruth. Deborah. Come on, the Bible's full of them. Mary. Rahab, Tamar, all the different ones stepped outside of status quo, went against the flow, went a different direction, showed strength and power. When Barak's getting ready to go to battle, he, I love this. Barak says, I'll go, but I'm not going without Deborah. Deborah's name means bee. A bee. Power. Watcher. She got a stinger. She got power. He said, I'll go to battle. Read it. I'll go to battle, but I'm not going without Deborah. She said, all right, Barak, I'll go with you. I love that. I'll go with you, but you won't get the victory today. It'll be the hands of a woman. And it wasn't Deborah. It was JL. Coached Sisera into the tent and nailed that dude. Drove the tent peg through his head. That girl had an arm. Nailed him to the floor. Nailed him right there. I mean, God gave them victory over their enemies because somebody dared to say, you know what? I feel like today I'm clothed with strength and dignity. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to laugh without fear of my future. Go ahead, Sisera, come into my tent. See what I can do. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to have power? Esther said, Mordecai came to her and said, Esther, our people are in danger. Haman has set out to destroy the Jews. He has set out to destroy our people. Esther, you're the only one that can save us. And she said, how am I going to save us? She said, I can't even go to the king unless he's summoned. Unless he calls me, I can't even go. I don't know what you want me to do, Mordecai. He said, well, don't get comfortable where you are and think that just because you're in the palace, you're going to escape this. But who knows, Esther, that you weren't called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows that this is not your day to shine, Esther? She said, I'll tell you what you do. You get the people fasting and praying, and I'm going to go see the king. And if I perish, then I perish, but I'm going to go down fighting. Hallelujah. See, she could have sat back and died with Haman's command, or she said, you know what? I'm looking at the face of death anyway, so I'm feeling a little bit bad today. Jump on my chest, wrinkle my vest, because I think I'm going to go see the king. Because what I found out is I got a little bit of favor with the king, and the king thinks fondly of me. So I think I'm just going to go into the king and tell him my business. And who knows that I wasn't born for such a time as this? Who knows that I wasn't born for this day? Who knows that I wasn't anointed for such a time as this? And you know what? If I perish, then I perish. But somebody got to make connection with the king. Hallelujah. How many know you have the power to change circumstances? You have the power to change directions for your homes, for your own life, for your own purpose. Hallelujah. If God's laid his hand on your life, he'll never change his mind. Amen? If he's laid his hand on your life, he'll never change his mind. He has purpose for you. He has calling for you. And he has destiny for you. And you may just be the person who helps deliver the person who's going to be the great person. But I want to play whatever part God has in it for me. Hallelujah. I don't need to be Moses. I'm satisfied just to catch him when he gets here. I'm satisfied just to clean him up and wipe him down. I'm satisfied just to pray over him. I'm satisfied to kiss him on the head. I'm satisfied to whisper in his ear and say, son, you were born for something great. You were born for greatness. Hallelujah. And then wait to see what God will do when we fear God and not man. Hallelujah. Midwives in the house. Like I said, you know, for all those who serve in this house, our children or whatever department or whatever area that you serve in, hallelujah, you have a chance to nurture minds that are being formed and hearts that are being drawn towards God. Hallelujah. And when they come up and tell us what they're learning in Sunday school, they may not remember all of it, but they will remember a lot of it and go back to those days and those feelings and those, you know, those moments. Hallelujah. Let's handle with care those that we birth into the kingdom. Protect our babies, nurture the babies, that they become the mighty. Hallelujah. It says, because midwives feared God, the nation prospered. If you want to see our nation prosper, nurture our children. Hallelujah. It says, while souls are being birthed, someone must take the time to assist the birth and nurture the babies. Have you assisted any births lately? Invite someone to come to church. We are in a crisis when we quit birthing souls or have a desire to win souls for the kingdom. Do you have a heart for souls? Refuse to let our new babies die. Hallelujah. How many know there's a lot of things that can abort the seed or hinder a birth? Fear, doubt, unworthiness, unbelief. All of those things can hinder us from proceeding and growing like we need to in God. Amen. So I'm thankful for in my life for all the times that somebody took a moment to encourage me in my walk with the Lord, to pray for me, or to be there. Hallelujah. I had an incident this week and it really touched my heart. I had a pastor friend of mine send me a message, and he said in big words, "What's going on? Question mark, question mark, question mark." And I thought that odd, and I waited, and he sent another one. He said, I had a dream about you twice this week. And he said, and then in the middle of the night last night, the Lord woke me up between 2:30 and 4 o'clock and had me interceding for you. What's going on? And I wrote back to him. I said, we're well. All is good. You know, nothing majorly going on, but thank you for having my back. Thank you for being sensitive to the Spirit. Thank you for letting me know you cared enough to pray me through, that you cared enough to, you know, have check in with me and say, you know, do you need anything? Are you okay? And I said, yes, I am, and I'm better now knowing that somebody's been praying for me, interceding for me, cares enough about me to check in on me, and thank you, Father, for letting me know that you got my back, that you care about me, that somebody's praying for me, hallelujah, that's lifting me up. I'll take prayer anytime. We always need prayer. And it wasn't like there was a major crisis, and there was things that I have seen the hand of God even in the last week. God is working some things out. God has moved, and I just laugh. Again, I just laugh because God has a sense of humor. And I say, thank you, God, because you cared enough to speak to somebody's heart, to lift up my hands today. Hallelujah. Don't ever think it doesn't matter to somebody. Don't think that you're insignificant or that it's not important or that that phone call or that text or that hug won't mean the world to somebody to say, look, you know, one of the best things you can do for a new mom is tell them what a great job they're doing. You remember those moments as a young mom when you didn't think you knew anything? you know, and you just didn't know if you was going to be able to get through, and, you know, and say, look, you're a good mom. You're doing great. You're going to be all right. Babies have lived for centuries. They're going to make it through. You know what I say? And what happens, they just keep changing the rules on babies. You can't write a manual or a handbook because they keep changing the rules. What used to be, my grandmother said, you put that baby down on its belly. Because that way, that's just the way you're supposed to do it. Now they tell you, don't put that baby on their belly. Put that baby on their back. They keep changing the rules. No wonder new mamas are nervous. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just need a word of encouragement. Say, you know what? You're going to be okay. Trust your heart. Trust your instincts. And do what you know is right. Hallelujah. Stand up with me this morning. Absolutely. Yeah, Pastor Shirley was saying, even though sometimes it may seem like there's not something going on right now, God may have been, he may have been interceding for something that could have happened that didn't happen. Hallelujah, that God intervened and interceded on our behalf and has protected us. If we only knew the many times God's hand just reached down and you know, saved us alive and protected us and took care of us. Hallelujah. Amen. God lays somebody on your heart. Don't shrug it off. There's a reason. There's a purpose. And even if you don't know the purpose or they don't know the purpose, God does. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never had that encounter, and you'd like to come forward this morning to the altar, you'd like to have us pray with you, we'd be glad to pray with you. We'd be glad to help birth you into the kingdom. We would be glad to nurture you and help you in that process. Hallelujah. Our altar is always open if you'd like to have prayer this morning, as Beth sings. Hallelujah.